The Gemara on Daf Yud Beis and Beis had stated, based on the pasuk in Yoel, that the Tainus is the day of Asifa Sekenim, and the Gemara explained from Ravuna that in the morning they would gather the elders of the city to be Ma'ayan B'mili D'Masa, to check out, as Rashi explains, the various averos that might need fixing in the city, and that's done in the morning. And then the Gemara further quotes the statement of Abaya that in the second half of the day is devoted to Torah and Tefillah, the first half of that latter half of the day, meaning a quarter. So one reads the Torah and the half Torah, and from there on, they are boy rachami, engage in tefillah. Perhaps a reference to the fixed tefillah in addition to other slichos and other forms of prayer. The Gemara quoted a pasuk in Nechemiah to that effect, but Revi'ah Sayom and Revi'ah Sayom, that in one Revi'ah Sayom they were reading the Torah, and in the second Revi'ah Sayom they were being misvada or mishtachave, engaging in forms of vidui and prostration, a reference to tefillah, and presumably vidui of averos in a process of tshuva. So the Gemara Yud Gimel Amud Aleph asks, "Eipachano?" And this is the Dira Maskel of Tosis. So Tosis explains, and Rashi explains similarly, Pirish. The name of Palga Kamaisa Diyoma Maslu Vo Rachami. Let us say that in the first half of the day, that's when they daven and ask for mercy, and presumably also read the Torah and the Half Torah. The Idach Palga, and in the other half of the day, namely in the afternoon, Ma'ayni B'mili D'masa. That's when you have the Asifa Zakenim, the gathering of the elders, to analyze the Averis of the city in order to correct them. How do you know, as the Gemara had assumed, that in the first half of the day, that's when they have the Asifa Zakenim, and in the latter half of the day, that's when they have the Torah and Tefillah? Why don't you switch? Because the Pasuk and the Nechemiah just indicates that a quarter of the day was dedicated to Torah and the Half Torah, to reading the Torah and the Half Torah. And another quarter, after that, was dedicated to Tefillah. How do you know that those two quarters didn't take place in the morning? And then the Asif HaZakein would be in the afternoon. Tos concludes, the Mishani lo salkadaitach. The Gemara answers that you cannot say that. Tos does not quote the answer of the Gemara when the tefillah takes place, leaving the morning free for the Asif HaZakeinim. And it also indicates that before that, Mincha, when there was davening, that the people gathered to Ezra, and he, being the chief Zokain, the chief elder, was analyzing the various sins that require tshuva in the days of the Shiva Sion, or the return to Eretz Yisrael. Tais di maskel lamen av chista kol shem shem avel kigon tishavav oser filo bitzonein ve'ovel oser bein b'chamin bein bitzonein v'chulei. Bach slightly changes the girsa, taking out three words to align itself with the girsa in the Gemara. To read the Ramaskal again with that change, Amar Rav Chista, Kol Shem Hashem Evel, Kigon, Tishabov. Now skipping the next three words. Ve'ovel, Oser, Bein B'chamin, Bein B'tzonim, V'chule. Meaning the Rav Chista is telling us that anything that's a result of Avelus, as opposed to a Taina Sibur, which is begging for mercy, and therefore we lessen pleasures, is Misham Tainug. So if it's as a result of mourning, so then one may not bathe either in hot water or in cold water. But if it's a typical Taina Sibur, so then it's only hot water which is banned, but not cold water. So Tosis, regarding the general prohibition of washing, quotes a Talmud Yerushalmi that has the following permit. Presumably this Yerushalmi would only be relevant to those times that it is usher to bathe, even in cold water, because what he's about to talk about typically seems to speak about cold water. On a regular fast day, according to Chista's statement, you're allowed to bathe in cold water, so then the following leniencies of Yerushalmi wouldn't be relevant, because you could even take a bath in cold water. So here are the leniencies that are relevant to those times that is usher to bathe in cold water, such as Tisha B'Av and Avelus. Yerushalmi, Yosef, Rei, the Rav Shua ben Levi, B'Tisha B'Av, Yom Kippurim, that on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, Machitz Yodav, he would wash his hands, U'Makaneach B'Mapa, and he would dry his hands, presumably he was washing his hands because they were dirty, or perhaps halachically dirty, until Sadaim Shal Shachris, and he would dry his hands on a towel, and there would be some moisture on the towel, U'Mavira Al-Gabi Einov. Then he would take that towel that had some moisture and put it over his eyes for some kind of refreshment or to be able to wake up more. This is quoted in Shulchan Aruch in terms of when the liquid is not wet enough to be tofeach amenasat piach. It's not wet enough to cause wetness to be transferred to something else, which could then wet something else. That's not really considered wet. It's just damp. Then that is not part of the prohibition. Let's continue and go back to the word kari in a moment. Pirish, meaning hayameiniach smarto tachas akar. He would take a rag, which the Rishalmi says tari, meaning he would soak the rag in water, and then he would place it underneath the pillow. Based on this, in the Ozohara, they changed the gears of kare, which would mean his foot, to kare, without the ayin, which would mean his pillow. Kedei, the gears that we have is lalachlacho, to make it wet, umaviro al gabi einav, and then he would pass it over his eyes. The gears that we have in the Tosis doesn't seem to make sense, because adarabba, the more wet it is, the more problematic it is. So if we keep the gears as it is, we'll have to say that he would put it under his pillow so it only reached the level of being moist. Kedei lalachlacho, meaning not to get it wet, but to get it to be drier and to only be lach, meaning moist, and then to put it on his eyes. If we don't want to preserve the gear system, then we'll have to say kedei liyabsho in order to dry it out. The bottom line is, most of the moisture would disappear, similar to the case of Yosef Breid Rabbi Shimon Levi, quoted above in the Tosfos, that it would just be moist, and that is not prohibited on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. It's interesting that Tosfos quotes this both in the context of Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. For Tisha B'Av, this is very straightforward. Concerning Yom Kippur, it's somewhat problematic, because here the Shulchan Aruch writes that we're concerned that you shouldn't do that, not midin iser rechitza, because it wouldn't be a problem in terms of that, but midin iser schita. They were worried that if you take a garment and you dry it out before Yom Kippur, that we're worried that you didn't do such a good job of drying it out, and therefore you might violate the Torah prohibition of a psikoresha, of an inevitable consequence of schita. This is very relevant to the topic of baby wipes. It's one of the sources that's brought to bear on that topic, as to what extent things that don't really have too much moisture in them, are they not a problem of schita, and then we make a gzeira that you're not going to squeeze it out properly. In sum, from the perspective of the prohibition of washing on Tisha B'Av and washing on Yom Kippur, it's only a problem when it's wet, not if it's damp. And these are two eitzes that were given by these various Amoraim and Yerushalmi to solve that problem. Taisi v'mascha v'chol shem shem tanug v'chulei. The Gemara continues the statement of Rav Chista that on a Taina Sibur, since the goal there is to lessen pleasure and not to express mourning, so one is only banned from bathing in hot water, not in cold water. So Tosfos point out that this is only going to be true for a real Taina Sibur. So Tosfos note, as we saw earlier, on the Gemara Yud Beis Mabez and on Yud Aleph Mabez, both in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba and the name of Shmuel, that ain't Taina Sibur B'Bavel, continuing the Tosfos, V'achshav she'ain't Taina Sibur B'Bavel, as the Gemara says earlier, Ela Tisha B'Av, except for Tisha B'Av, Mutarin, Afil B'Chamin, then you're even allowed to bathe in hot water, because it's only on a Taina Sibur. Concerning the fast days for rain, it's only the latter 3 and 7, not the first 3, but since there's no Taina Sibur B'Bavel, except for Tisha B'Av, so there's no prohibition against Rechitza, even B'chamin. But let's continue. Not only true for a typical Taina Sibur that is decreed for some kind of tragedy that's occurring, but Afilu Yitzayim B'Tammuz V'Tzom Gedalia, even on the 70th day of Tammuz and Tzom Gedalia, of course, the 3rd day of Tishrei, even though the Tosfos doesn't list it, but presumably the same would be true for Asara B'Teves. And on all these days, one is allowed to bathe in hot water. Kach Pasak Rav Yo. So the Rav Yo Paskins, again, a raya that this collection of Tosfos is a later one, because Rav Yo was in the later Balei HaTosfos. Rabbeinu Yoel Aviv Osar Lirchas B'Chamin. Rabbeinu Yoel prohibited to bathe in hot water. Tosfos's extension, in terms of the permit of the Rav Yo, not only for a Taina Sibur that's done for Tzara, but also to Shivas Batam and Tzom Gedalia, needs further analysis, because the Gemara had said that a Taina Sibur that is decreed for some kind of tragedy that is occurring or looming is Mishim Tanuk. So there, it's also to bathe in hot water, it's more to bathe in cold water. But if it's Mishim Evel, because of mourning, such as Tisha B'Av and also Avelus, so then you're not allowed to bathe in hot water or in cold water. So Bishlama, when dealing with a Taina Sibur, so we say, ain't Taina Sibur B'Avel, and therefore, it's Mishim Tanug, and you're allowed to bathe even in hot water against the typical halacha concerning a real Taina Sibur. But if it's Mishim Evel, so then both hot water and cold water is aser, as is true for Tisha B'Av. So why shouldn't it be true for Shivas B'Tam and Tzom Gedalia? We call it a Taina Sibur, but it's Mishim Evel as well. So there, not only should you not be able to bathe in hot water, you shouldn't be able to bathe in cold water either. So the simplest chat, perhaps, in this Tosfos is in accordance with the famous Ramban, as quoted by the Tor, that, as we noted in an earlier daf, based on Pesukim and Zechariah, that when there is a time of Shmad, the religious persecution, so then all 4 fast days, Tisha B'Av, Shivas V'Tammuz, Tzom Gedalia, Asara B'Teves, the Ramban writes, would have the same halacha of Tisha B'Av. There would be 25-hour fast days, and they would have the Chamisha Inuyim, you wouldn't be able to bathe, etc., anoint, and so on and so forth. But when there's no Shmad, and there's no Shalom, meaning there's no Beis HaMikdash, but there's no religious persecution, excursion, so then those fast days are optional. So Klal Yisrael volunteered to make them obligatory. So the Ramban explains, when they volunteered to make it obligatory, they didn't accept the full restrictions of the 25-hour fast day and all the other inuyim. And they allowed the other inuyim of bathing and anointing and so on and so forth. They weren't makabel those. They didn't accept those. And also, they didn't accept the full 25-hour fast day, only to fast during the day. So presumably, that all cheshmer is included in this tosis. That's why the Rav Yehuda holds that on Yud Zayin B'Tammuz and Tzom Gedalia, as well as Asar B'Tevis, as we said earlier, that those are no longer binding, midin avelus, because it's the voluntarism of Klal Yisrael. So they didn't volunteer those other inuyim. And that's the basic halacha. So what's Pshat Rabbeinu Yoel, the father of Rav Yo, the Yud of Rav Yo, Rabbeinu Eliezer ben Yoel Halevi? So why does he ban hot water? So at first glance, he might hold that Klal Yisrael volunteered to accept that as well. But if that would be true, then it should also be that we cannot bathe in cold water, because that's the way it is on Tisha B'Av. So perhaps we could have said that Rabbi Yoel holds that Klal Yisrael volunteered to mikzas, that they didn't ban the full gamut of the prohibitions of Tisha B'Av, but at least to some aspect relevant to the morning of the day, not to bathe in hot water. I saw in the Bach, who quotes in the Mordechai, that Rabbeinu Yoel brings a raya from a certain Gemara Masechet Rosh Hashanah about a typical Tainus Sibur having nothing to do with the four fast days mentioned by Zechariah, mourning over the Churban Beis Hamikdash and the Golus. So it sounds like the Pshat Rabbeinu Yoel is, he has somehow a different understanding of Midin Tainus Sibur, not Midin Avelus, that even though ain't Tainus Sibur Bavel, that doesn't permit us to bathe in hot water. Perhaps some of the other Inuyim are lifted, as we saw on the Gemara on Yud Beis and Beis, in terms of not wearing shoes, that doesn't apply. But in terms of specifically bathing in hot water, that applies across the board, even to a tiny sibur nowadays. In any case, the post can quote the Psak of the Rav Yoel is a normative one with those who are machmir, like Rabbeinu Yoel, as quoted by the Mishnah Berurah. Taisa Zir Maschil Benoel and Amer Chatzos. The Gemara quotes the statement of Rav Yidi Bar Ovin, verifying the statement of Rav Chista, that on a tiny sibur, one is only prohibited to bathe in hot water, not in cold water. And the proof is, from our Mishnah, mentioned in our previous Amud, that no one is a merchatzos, that we close up the bathhouses. The bathhouses, of course, typically would have hot water. So, a diuk, that it's only the hot water bathhouses that are being closed up, and not the cold water supply. The Tos explains, no one is a merchatzos, pirish, meaning shein chamin, that the merchatzos, the bathhouses are typically hot. This leads to the next Yom Maschil. Tais Yom Maschil, Otu Soichrin Horos Chulei. This is a quote from the Kasha Vabaya against the proof of Rav Yidi Bar Ovin, that if your diak is in the fact that it says that they closed the bathhouses, which are typically hot, that would mean that the diak is that they didn't say that they closed the cold water sources. So what would be the cold water sources of bathing? That would be the rivers. So in order to indicate that they're banning bathing in cold as well, so it should have said that they closed the rivers. They stopped up the rivers, and that's the kasha, the rhetorical question that Abaya asks on Rav Yidi Bar Ovin's proof, which is Tosu Maschil. Otu Sochrin Horos Chulei. Tosu elaborate and explain. Kelomar, meaning, I have osir b'tzonein. If it would be prohibited to bathe in cold, mi ikal and misni sochrin the horos, can it really say that they would stop up the rivers? Pshita, it's pashit. Delo matzi lemiskir, that you can't stop up the rivers, physically impossible. Kelomar, meaning, kemo kain, meaning that just as, based on that, since it couldn't have possibly said stop up the rivers, so therefore, lotetek madiktani, don't make a diak from that which was stated, v'noel and mechatzos, that they close up the bathhouses which were hot. Since it couldn't possibly say that they close up the cold water sources, namely the rivers, because that's just impractical and not feasible. So the fact that it says Noel Amechatzos, maybe La'olam, really, I'll tell you that you can't bathe even in cold water. But it's basically saying to close down the bathhouses, the only ones they had were hot. But if there would be a cold water bathhouse, you'd have to shut that down too. But they just aren't. The rivers are cold, but that you can't talk about closing it up. So therefore, there's no diuk from the fact that it says Noel Amechatzos. And the Gemara quotes the statement of the son of Rav Yidi Bar Ovin, namely Rav Shesha, who defends his father's proof. And once you say it's Asa Brechitza, so you know that you're not allowed to go to the bathhouses. Why did they have to say to shut down the bathhouses? I was trying to say a diuk, that we shut the bathhouses because those are hot. Had they been cold, they would not shut them down. The Gemara, in trying to prove the first half of Rav Chista's statement, that anything is because of Avelus, namely Tisha B'Av, and an Ovel himself, that he may not bathe not in hot water and not in cold water. So the Gemara quotes a Mishnah, Masechta Yoma, Kol Chayvei Tevilas Tovlin Kedarkan Bein B'Tisha B'Av Bein B'Yom Kippur. That when someone is chayv in Tevila because of state of Tumah, so one could dip normally both on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. But this is not our final psak. So the Gemara asked, what kind of mikveh is one immersing in? If we're talking about hot, that's the Gemara asks, Tefillah b'chamin me'ika, is there such a thing as dipping in hot water? And our gersa is, the Vilna Gaon points out that apparently not all the Rishonim had it, shuvin inu. My shuvim, of course, refers to water that went into kelim, into utensils. A mikveh has to be made directly from rainwater falling into the pit, or its equivalent. But if it's drawn with utensils, so then that water becomes pasul. They're going to be shuvim, they're going to be mayim shuvim, because typically the way you get a hot mikveh is by heating up water in a pot, and then pouring it in, and heating up water in a pot, and pouring it in, etc. So again, wrapping up the proof. So, it must be that they're dipping in cold. And it's only because they're tamei that they're allowed to dip on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, but had they not been tamei, they would not be allowed to. So from here we see that bathing, even in cold water, is banned on Tisha B'Av, and of course, Yom Kippur as well. So the Gemara proceeds to push aside the proof by stating that perhaps we're dealing with Chami Tveria, the hot springs of Tiberias, where it's hot from the geothermic heat under the ground, and there was no need to gather the water in pots or Mayim Shuvim in order to heat it up. So now, Tosis elaborates on this assumption that the Gemara makes, that you cannot have Tefillah B'Chamin. Tefillah B'Chamin Me'ika, HaShuvim Ninu. That as we said earlier, that the typical way to make a heated mikveh would be to heat up pots of hot water on the fire, and then pour it into the bore, into the pit. Either Tosis had the Girsa Shuvim Ninu, which he's now quoting now, or he didn't have the Girsa and he's explaining it on his own. So now Tosis is the following Diyuk, which is relevant to Hilchas Mikvos. It sounds like in the Gemara that there's no way to make a hot mikveh without it being puzzled. The typical psul, as we mentioned, would be she'uvin, because you are heating up the water in kelim. So the diyuk that Tosis is going to make is that there's no way to kosherize those she'uvin. The words of Tosis. And the fact that it didn't say that you find the tvila dechshera that it should be kosher b'chamin and not water. Kigon she'uchamu, for example, they were heated up. V'humshichu, and they underwent the process that's called hamshacha, meaning they were poured on the ground and then they flowed into mikveh after running on the ground for a while. Livrecha, into the pool of water. Ela she'ama b'chamei tveria, that the only kind of chamin that you could dip in would be the springs of Tiberias, where it gets heated from the geothermal heat under the ground, and therefore would not need to be cooked in pots in order to get hot. So from the fact that that was the only example the Gemara came up with as part of its analysis as to having a kosher mikveh of chamin, so yesh lo chiyach, someone could prove the chulo shov afilo al yideim shacha lo mahanya, that if it's all literally drawn water, meaning in kelim, which is pasul for a mikveh, that you have no ability to kosherize it by, as we mentioned earlier, by rolling it on the ground and then only then it going to the mikveh. Dechulo shava filo yideim shacha lo mahanya tvila. That if the whole contents of the mikveh, namely the 40 saw, are through amshacha, through that process, it doesn't work. Because if it would work, so then we have an easy way to have a hot mikveh without Chamei Tveria, without the hot springs of Tiberias. You heat up hot water in pots, and then that'll be Mayim Shuvim, which is puzzle for a mikveh, but then we'll kosherize it by pouring it on the ground and having it run into the pit. So you see from here that it's not kosher. Tosis is referring to other Gemaras where we see that Hamshacha is kosher. So Tosis is saying that's only true for Miut, that if the majority of the mikveh is typical rainwater that went into the pit properly, and then you have Mayim Sheuvim, which is only a Miut, that you could fill in with Hamshacha. But if it's Kulo Shoev, then that would not be valid. Indeed, this is the explicit view, as discussed in the Gemara in Tmura, Taf Yud Beis Amid Aleph, and Amid Beis, of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, that only a Miut of Sheuvim that were poured on the ground can be combined with a rove of regular rainwater to kosherize a mikveh. But if it's half and half, and certainly the majority, and all the more so all, so then it would be possible even with hamshacha or mayim sheuvim that were poured on the ground. Presumably, Tosis is assuming that to get a geshmaka hot mikveh, that you're going to need kulo shov, or perhaps rove shov, and most of it will have to be heated up. Otherwise, Tosis has an easy solution to get the mikveh hot. You'll have rove, regular mikveh water, that's cold, from the rain. And then you'll have a miut, which is a minority, and heat it up that way. But apparently it's not going to get hot enough, because the majority is cold. So now Tosis gets stuck with Akasha. That same Gemara and Tamura that we referred to earlier, Daf Yud Beis and Beis, they point out in the margin, that sounds like that Hamshacha does work for all the water, meaning you could take drawn water that was in a kli, which is pasul in a mikveh, and kosherize it by pouring it on the ground and having it run from the ground into the bar, into the dipping pit. So that's what Tos quotes, V'hadamar d'Hamshacha kulak she'era b'feirish Gemara, that says black and white, that when you draw all of the water, it's kosher. At first glance, it seems to be against the view of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov that we quoted earlier, that only a minority of she'uvim shem shichua, of drawn water that you poured on the ground, can combine to a majority of regular rainwater to kosherize the mikvah. This other statement in the Tumura sounds like that even him shichua kula, even if you took mayim she'uvim and you poured all of it on the ground for the full 40 saw, that would also be kosher. Thus it explains that it's not what it means, that it doesn't mean as it seems. Ratzalomar, what that means is la'inyan she'ena poselas es ha'mikvah kisha'ar mayim she'uvim. It doesn't disqualify the mikvah in the same way that other drawn water that's in kelim is going to disqualify the mikvah. Aval tefila vaday eina ola behem. But a tefila does not work in them. Toz's words are somewhat cryptic. What does he mean? He just pointed out that it doesn't disqualify the mikvah. But then he says that you can't dip in them, so that means it disqualifies the mikveh. So some of the mepharshim explain as follows, that in a typical mikveh, we need 40 saw of rainwater, where the water goes basically straight into the pit, or halachically straight into the pit, without going through pipes or kelim that are going to somehow disqualify. But let's say you had a mikveh, let's say, of 20 saw of rainwater, which is half the amount you need, and then you start putting in mayim she'uvim, water that's drawn from kelim. So the halacha is even 3 lug. A relative small amount is going to disqualify it at what's called the tchilas hamikvah, when you're first making the mikvah. Let's say you have 20 saw of rainwater, and then you add in the 3 lug of mayim she'uvim that's drawn in kelim. And then you allow into the mikvah more and more and more and more rainwater, more rainwater, more rainwater, again straight from the sky into the pit. So even though you have 40 saw of rainwater,
the 3 lug
of drawn water are going to ruin the mikvah unless you guarantee that somehow there's so much overflow that those she'uvim, those 3 lug, somehow disappeared and they got out of the mikvah. So that's quite a stringency. You have to have the first 40 saw, the base has to
be rainwater.
So that's what some of the Mepharshim explained, that's what Tosfos is driving at. That stringency that applies to regular she'uvim is not going to be true when it's kosherized, so to speak, by Hamshocha. Again, the words of Tosfos, Ratzalomar, La'inyan she'ena poselas es ha'mikvah kisha'ar mayim she'uvim, as we said, that there the mayim she'uvim will disqualify the mikvah while it's still being formed from the rainwater when you don't have the full 40 saw yet. Even 3 lug will disqualify unless you guaranteed you get rid of it. But with Hamshocha, if let's say you had a mikvah,
similar to the case above, of 20 saw of megashamim, of rainwater, and then you put in 3 lug or more of mayim she'uvim, but you did hamshacha with it, and then more rainwater was added to the mikvah, straight from the sky. So the fact that you had 3 lug of mayim she'uvim is not going to disqualify it, because they were hamshichu, and therefore they were kosherized. And as we mentioned earlier, up to a minority, the mikvah can be mayim she'uvim shehom shechu, drawn water that was poured on the ground. And even more than that, and this is probably what Tosis means here. Tosis in Temura quotes the view of Rabbeinu Shmuel, that in a case where you initially had a mikvah that was made fully with she'uvim, but you did hamshacha, so now you have, namely, you took those vessels of mayim she'uvim, you poured them on the ground, and they ran on the ground till they came into the mikvah, and then you have 40 saw of mayim she'uvim that were kosherized via hamshacha. So the last line of Tosis, avol tevila v'aday eina ola behem, you're not allowed to dip in those 40 saw that were kosherized via hamshacha. But if now you open up the ability for rainwater to flow in, and now you have 40 saw of rainwater that even without the water that was nimshach, you would have 40 saw of rainwater. So had it been she'uvim without hamshacha, it would still be puzzle. Now that it's with hamshacha, plus you have the 40 saw of regular rainwater, then it's kosher. In sum, in the view of Tosfos, there are two ways for hamshacha to be kosher. One is where it's a minority, where you have 21 saw of rainwater and 19 saw of mayim she'uvim shehom shechu. That's one example, which is stated explicitly by Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, as he mentioned earlier in the Gemara in Temura. And the other Gemara in Temura that states that even if hum shechu kulo, that it's still kosher, that refers to, as we said earlier, to where you have 40 saw of she'uvim shehum shechu, which are currently not kosher to dip in, but unlike classic mayim she'uvim, where even if you add in 40 saw of rainwater, it's not kosher until you can be guaranteed that mayim she'uvim has disappeared. But with mayim she'uvim shehom shechu, even if you started out with 40 saw of them, if you added in 40 saw of straight rainwater, then it indeed would be kosher. Just to mention briefly that Rashi in Masechta Temura seems to indicate that, at least according to the view of the Rabbanan, arguing honorably as Ben Yaakov, the meaning of she'uva shem shichu hakula is kipshuto, that if you have a mikveh of total mayim she'uvim that were poured on the ground, that the mikveh is kosher, at least according to the view of the Rabbanan, against Rabbi Yezer ben Yaakov. And indeed, that is the view of several other Rishonim as well. But Tosis here, as well as Tosis in Temura, more at length, argues on that view of Rashi. This issue was, of course, very relevant to areas that very infrequently get rain. How do you build a mikveh in those areas? If we would have paskined like the lenient view that Rashi indicates that the Rabbanan hold against Rabbi Yezer ben Yaakov, then you would have a simple solution. This would take tap water, then you would pour it on the ground before it goes into the mikveh, and then you'd have a kosher mikveh. But according to Tosis' understanding, that would be possible according to everyone. You'd need at least a majority of straight rainwater. So the Psak in Shulchan Aruch is indeed like Tosis, that you need at least a majority of rainwater, and only a minority of she'uvim shemshichua will not disqualify the mikveh. Okay, somewhat a tangential treatment of some of the complexities of Hilchos Mikvos.
The Gemara quotes a brisa, somewhat of a detailed brisa, discussing various prohibitions that are true on a tainus sibur, and comparing those prohibitions to what is true for an ovel and for a menuda, someone who is in some kind of form of excommunication. So the brisa tells us that the issur melacha on a tainus sibur only applies during the day and not at night, as the Gemara on the previous amud had said. And the prohibition of wearing shoes only applies inside the city, but outside the city on the road, one is allowed to wear shoes. And concerning the prohibition against bathing, so it's only the whole body that may not be bathed, but the pun of Yadav Raglav, the face, the hands, and the feet, may be bathed. And simply speaking, concerning all of those three distinctions, Malacha, Ne'ilas HaSandal, and Mechitza, Chena Tamotze B'menuda Uva'ovet. So now, the Gemara says that at first glance is going on all of them, including Rechitza. So what distinction do we have for Rechitza? That you're allowed to bathe pun of Yadav Raglav, you're only not allowed to bathe the whole body. What kind of heat of water are we dealing with? If it's hot water, so then even the face, the hands, and the feet would be aser concerning an ovel, as we have an explicit statement of Rav Sheshes, that ovel aser lahoshet esbo b'chamin, can't even put his finger in hot water. So it must be within with cold water. And within cold water, you're not allowed to bathe the whole body in cold water, but you're allowed to bathe the hands, face, and feet. So that serves as a difficulty. What is the difficulty? So Rashi, we're going to see in a moment that Tosfos does not learn this way, is assuming that the kasha is not going on ovel, but rather it's going on tainus sibur, namely as follows. If Chista earlier had stated that on a tainus sibur that is only prohibited in tanugim, in pleasures, so there you're not allowed to bathe in hot water, but you're allowed to bathe in cold water. But here we have a brisa that deduced that we were dealing with cold water and tells us that you're not allowed to bathe the whole body in cold water and you're only allowed to bathe the face, hands, and feet in cold water. True for an ovel, true for tainus sibur. So here we have that a tainus sibur you're not allowed to bathe in cold water. Hence Akasha on Rav Chista's statement concerning tainus sibur. That is the way Rashi understands. Tosfos, we shall see, interprets the Gemara differently. Pirish say Tosfos, the Bachetz in a word, koi ahod kamrinan uvitzonein mutter. We have in this brisa that you're allowed to bathe in cold water, namely, ponov yodav eraglov. That's what you have to fill in to interpret the Tosfos for it to make sense, because the brisa said it's us to bathe in cold water, but not ponov yodav eraglov. Uvitzonein mutter. Tosfos continue, the ovel nami mutter vitzonein, that an ovel is also allowed to bathe in cold water, meaning, as we stated, ponov yodav eraglov. The kasha l'Rav Chista, and that's difficult to Rav Chista, the Omar who said earlier on the page, Ovel Oser Bein Bechamin Bein Betzonein, that an Ovel is not allowed to bathe, not in hot water and not in cold water. So at first glance, this interpretation of Tosis means as follows. It's not a kasha on the case of Tainus Sibur, but rather, it's a kasha on the case of Ovel. How so? Because Rav Chista had banned the Ovel from bathing in cold water. And here the Brisa allows the Ovel to bathe in cold water, at least pun of Yadav Raglav. So at first glance, this kasha doesn't make any sense, because the Gemara in Amud Beis concludes, and simply speaking, Rav Chista would agree to that conclusion, that when we say that an Ovel is not allowed to bathe in cold water, it just means he's not allowed to bathe his whole body in cold water. But to wash his hands, face, and feet in cold water would be mutar. So what kind of kasha is that on Rav Chista?
Among the other Achrayim who asked this kasha on Tosfos is the Gilyan Hashas by Rabbi Akiva Eiger on the page of the Gemara.
And presumably that's what led Rashi to read the Gemara somewhat non-literally. Simple flow would imply that it's going on Ovel, but in terms of the context, it has to be going on Tainus Sibur. They were being medayik from the fact that the Brisa says that
called what is aser. But pun of yad rav goes mutter, that's true for an avel, it's also true for tainus sibur. And tainus sibur Rav Chista said that called what is mutar.
And therefore there's a contradiction between Rav Chista's statement and this brisa.
You can't interpret it as going on the Avel, presumably, Rashi maintained, because the Avel is allowed to bathe his panavyada raglav in cold water, so what would be the kasha on him? So Tosis, who maintained that is exactly the kasha, is difficult. So the Achronim tried to resolve this Tosis, and the best answer is that Tosis is aligning himself with the interpretation of the Ritva, and the Ritva maintains that notwithstanding the fact that the Gemara on Yud Gimel Amud Beis concludes that an Avel is allowed to wash his hands, feet, and face in cold water, but Rav Chista himself banned that. And that emerges from Rav Chista's statement, which seems to be across the board. Again, quoting from up top, Kol Shum Yishum Avel Kigon Tisha Bav Avel Oser Bein Becham and Bein Betzonein. Both in hot water and cold water, it's banned. And Rav Chista did not qualify that pun of Yad Raglav is allowed. So unlike the other Rishonim, who assumed that Rav Chista was talking about bathing the whole body. He wasn't dealing with pun of Yad Raglav. But Tosis assumed that Rav Chista was talking about even pun of Yad Raglav. Therefore, we have a kasha from this brisa on Rav Chista. The Rav Chista says pun of Yad Raglav is aser, and this brisa says mutter. So now Tosis quote the answer of the Gemara. Umishani, and the Gemara answers Ashara. That when the Gemara compared the halachas of Taina Sibur to the Avol Menuda, it's going on the other cases. Kalomar meaning Ashar Dinim on the other Dinim mentioned in the brisa. What are those Dinim? Namely, Ana'ila Vesicha, concerning wearing shoes and anointing. So the Bach points out that the Braisa doesn't talk about Sicha. So presumably the Gersi should have to be Ane'ilo Malacha. It's interesting that Rashi also said Ane'ilo V'Sicha. And there also the Bach changes the Gersa to Ane'ilo Malacha. Somehow it seems to be a conspiracy of the Gersos. It's more likely perhaps to assume Anias Daiti that they had a different Gersa than the Braisa and that the Braisa spoke about Sicha. In any case, but the comparison between Taina Sibur and Avel Menuda is only going on Ne'ilah and Malacha. That Ne'ilah, that the Avel may wear shoes outside the city, and presumably that Malacha is mutter at night and not during the day. Tos conclude, Avalokai Ahod V'Sonein. But it's not going on the cold water idea. Because concerning cold water, so on a typical fast day, because as we said, the way Tos is understanding, like the Ritva, that an Avel is also to bathe even Panav Yad Raglav in cold water, which would not be true on a Taina Sibur. It's still somewhat difficult, since according to this reading, if the Gemara is only resolving the problem concerning Avel that is going Ashara, then an Avel is actually usher to bathe Panav Yad Raglav. So that would mean that on a Taina Sibur, what does the Braisa state? Has to be going on something. So that would mean that the whole body would be aser, and Panav Yad Raglav would be mutter. So how could that be? Because the same Rav Chista said earlier that on a Taina Sibur you're allowed to bathe the whole body in cold water. So probably Tosis is assuming, even though you have to add this to the Gemara, that according to the conclusion of the Gemara, the bathing is actually not talking about in cold water, it's talking about in hot water. That concerning an Avel, the Brais is not getting involved at all with the prohibitions of Avel. An Avel is banned, according to this understanding, both in cold water and hot water, and even Panav Yad Raglav, both in cold water and hot water. But concerning a Taina Sibur, in hot water, so then we have the following distinction, that a person is not allowed to bathe his whole body in hot water, but he's allowed to bathe Panav Yad Raglav in hot water. And that is indeed the way the Ran explains within Rashi's understanding of this Kasha and Teretz, that according to the Maskanos HaGemara, in a regular Taina Sibur, again, not Tisha B'Av, because that's because of Avelis, but in a Taina Sibur that's decreed because of some kind of Tzara, so then hot water would be prohibited for the whole body, but mutter for Panav Yad Raglav. Tosfos Rebbe Maschil, Hich Bitzaro Mekel Batar. The Gemara toward the bottom of the page quotes a braisa that if Sama Nebuch had a double avelus, then in the middle of the avelus of the first relative, another relative passed away. So if his hair had grown especially long as a result of the first avelus, so the hair is literally speaking weighing down on him, so he could be Mekel Batar. So what exactly is the meaning of that? So Tos explained. Pirish, Derech Aticha, that you take the razor and with it you cut, meaning you leave hair over. You use the razor like a scissors to not cut all the way down, but you're using a razor instead of scissors. Avalokidarko, but not the normal way, derech yiluach, not to use the razor in the typical way to shave the head all the way down. Obviously, we're not talking about using it with a beard in an usher way, or the payas in an usher way. And to us is diuk, that this is the way of using the razor, that you're not cutting it all the way down. Midah ka'amar mekel, below ka'amar megaleach, from the fact that it used the verb mekel and not the term megaleach. Mekel literally lightening the hair.
Beis Yosef in Hilchas Avelus
quotes this opinion in the name of the Ramban as well, that Hichbit Sarah Mekel Batar means you're using the tar as a scissors. And the Chiddush is that you're not doing the haircut in a regular way, and neither using scissors, nor are you using the razor in the regular way, which would be to cut all the way down. What Tosis calls Giluach, rather you're doing it Shaloki Darko. Of course, an alternate shot from Rabbeinu Yerucham that Mekel means that you're lessening the amount of hair. So you're taking the razor and you're not cutting all the hairs all the way down, but you're cutting some of them all the way down. And with that, you're lessening the amount of hair you have, but keeping the other hairs full length. So that's a somewhat different version of Mekel Batar. Tosa seems to be going with the Ramban.